When I was a child, writes Mary Cornell, our favorite playground was the cemetery. Our house was beside a church and graveyards next door and across the road. And we spent hours playing hide and seek and follow the leader, walking the rock wall bordering the perimeter, making hideouts in the boxwoods. We never intended any disrespect, because as children we had not yet learned the hard rules of life and death. But, she says, through the years, I've learned. Sooner or later, for all of us, it happens. Confronted with the dark realities of death, cemeteries seem more like prisons than playgrounds, holding our hopes captive, locking away our dreams, slamming shut the door on the future. Visits to the graveyard are accompanied by cries of grief rather than shouts of joy. Ask Mary Magdalene. After surviving the unthinkable horror of that Friday, on the first day of the week, in the early morning darkness, she was dealt the crowning blow. One more unfathomable event in the long string of atrocities. The stone was rolled away. The tomb was empty. The body was gone. And she ran back with the news. They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have placed him. The helplessness just opened the floodgate of tears. There was nothing she could do. They've taken him away, and I don't know where. It was more than she could bear. Put yourself in her shoes. It would be more than we could bear. Helpless and hopeless. For they, whoever they were, had won. The powers of evil were too great. Why are you weeping? The angel asked. And Mary might well have asked the angel, why not? If you're not weeping, you've obviously not been paying attention. Don't you read the papers? Listen to the radio? Watch the evening news? Browse the web? Haven't you noticed? The principalities and powers of evil are running rampant. There's too much disease, too much violence, too many deaths. And sometimes the only choice seems to be to play the world's game and weep. Only a short time ago, Mary and the other disciples had been playing follow the leader with Jesus, running through the graveyards, thumbing their noses at death. Remember Lazarus? He'd been in the grave for 4 days, yet walked right out when Jesus called his name. Back then, Jesus had dared them to imagine a different world, a world where masters wash the servants' feet, and the winner is the one who comes in last. A world where the myth of scarcity was proven false by a 5,000-plate banquet served from the contents of a little boy's lunchbox, with more leftovers than all the Tupperware containers could hold. A world where, instead of survival of the fittest, wolves and lambs were sitting side by side at the table. Then they had been playing like children in the cemetery. But now, they've taken away my Lord. It appeared the game was over. Their team had lost. The graveyard was but a stark reminder of the captivity, the bondage of the powers of death and defeat and despair. There was nothing Mary could do. And as she sat weeping in the cemetery, the one she had mistaken for the gardener called her name. And peering through her tears, Mary recognized Jesus. The game was over, and God was in it. It was too good not to be true. The powers of death had not won. Now all the rules were changed. Mary realized she was not helpless. There was something she could do, and she moved from weeping to witnessing. I have seen the Lord, she said. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Mary discovered new purpose, new possibility. See, disciples don't have to play by the old rules. In raising Jesus from the dead, God broke the bondage of evil. And so we're set free to imagine the world in a whole new way. Set free for life. We are set free for living. As Mary Cornell writes, she tells the story of when 16 years before, she had stood at the graveyard and wept at her mother's grave. And a few days after the funeral, she and her family returned to the cemetery, this time taking their children. They hadn't been earlier. They felt they were too young for a funeral. She says, as we drove to the cemetery, I tried to explain to the kids why we were going. I told them grandmother was with Jesus. I wasn't sure what they'd really heard. When we got there, the boys didn't linger long beside the grave. They were soon running around, as children will, playing in the cemetery. And suddenly our three-year-old pointed to an especially large mausoleum above the ground. It looked almost like a house, and he said, "Look, that's where Jesus lives." The wonderful logic of a child. If this is grandmother's grave, and she's with Jesus, then why not? We had thought the children were too young to understand, she wrote, but perhaps they caught a glimpse of the truth that through our tears it was hard for us adults to really see. Friends, the hope of the resurrection is that this world is not just where Jesus died. This world is where Jesus lives again. And because Jesus lives, because God has broken the power of sin and death, we have been set free to live too. Now, I know that sometimes that is hard to believe. Sometimes it seems as though the principalities and powers of evil are in control. Some days it's hard to see with eyes of faith, which is why we need the church, why we rely upon one another. So that in those times when our sight is blinded by tears, there's someone else to rely upon. That's why we share in the meal we call the Lord's Supper. The sacraments to an outsider might seem like child's play, eating little bits of bread and drinking little cups of juice. To a casual observer, they might appear like a harmless child's tea party. But when we look upon them with eyes of faith, when we listen with ears of hope, in the broken bread and the cup poured, we discover anew Mary's gospel. I have seen the Lord. When we gather together to worship and to eat the bread and drink from the cup, we dare to imagine a different world. A world not imprisoned by the powers of sin and death, but a world that's set free. Set free for love and justice and peace. And like Mary, we get to move from weeping to witnessing, to scatter out from here and shout, "Hooray for God!" Easter is a season to celebrate. We've been set free, and things are different now. So even though there are times when tears may stream down our cheeks at the atrocities of the world, we can get up from the table and follow our leader out the door or running around the sanctuary, through the cemeteries and the streets, the boardroom and the back of fields, thumbing our noses at death. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus lives again. Amen?
Amen?
Hooray for God. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Goodness gracious. It is Easter. Let's stand and sing something. Mary Lee, play us a song. Number 307, our hymn of grace is number 307, Christ is Risen.
Christ is risen.
Church, we have grown up traditionally reciting the Apostles' Creed. It's the one creed that most of us know from memory. We've always done it and always used that as our profession of faith. But it's the Nicene Creed, which we're about to recite, which is the oldest in the history of the Christian Church. It was written during one of the early councils of Nicaea by the church fathers, and they had gathered from all over the world at that time, the settled world. And this was their first statement of faith, this Nicene Creed. So throughout the Easter season, this is what we will be using as our statement of an affirmation of our Christian beliefs and faith. Let us join together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.